ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Mark, and we're in chapter 4. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
He says, unto you it is given to know. And I laugh because you and I are going to have to experience some stuff. Because this Christian life is just that. It is a life. This is not an armchair kind of thing. We don't just sit back and say, and just enjoy knowledge. Okay, it's not a cerebral thing here. We may be philosophical in that we love wisdom, but the wisdom that we receive from Him, though it's sweet in our mouths, sometimes it's bitter in our bellies. Because it makes us want to go and do something for Him and hazard some things. And for many throughout the history of the church age, we've seen that sometimes it has ended in a very fatal experience. And it says, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And notice that it's a mystery. Again, He's not putting it right out there and explaining the A's and the B's and the C's up at this point, at least not in the open square. He says, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Now, interestingly, the word without has the idea of being people who are outside of the faith in other places. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Bible says we need to walk honestly toward them that are without. In other words, they're outsiders, not just outside the room or outside this closed circle we're sitting here in. But he says there's a whole multitude of people out there, and not every one of them is going to lean in and try to find the answers to the questions that I've just conjured. You know, it's kind of interesting how life is. It's easier to teach a child by making them ask a question, kind of bringing them along and creating a desire. What? What? How do you do that? And such is the case what Jesus has done. He's cast out there a parable, and the real desired end is that they would ask, and some have. Okay, they're asking now. And he says those that are without, outsiders, and that's many of the religious crowd in his day, they really didn't want the answers. He says, but unto you it is given. But unto them, all these things are done in parables. And this is interesting because verse 12 says, in order that, seeing, they may see and not perceive. And hearing, they may hear and not understand. The word perceive, it's to see something physically, okay? When you see the lay of the land of something, for instance, if I'm going to do a job on my car or something, sometimes I'll watch a YouTube video and somebody will have already done that job and I'll watch that video and I'll know what to do. It's like an icon. Okay, I know what we're doing here in a clump sum. But he says they're going to see and not perceive. They're not going to get it. It's not going to resonate. And largely it's because they have a problem with maybe the speaker or the message or what it's going to cost them. But whatever the reason, they're going to see and not perceive. And the Bible says not only that, they're going to hear and they're not going to understand, lest at any time they be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now, Jesus came to seek and to save what was lost. But Jesus also knew that some people would not listen or receive what he had to say. He knew that. But he thought you and I who would trust him, those of us who would trust him, worthy of this effort. So he came on that rescue mission and he was willing to die on the cross. And he was willing to bring forth a possibility and an ability for salvation to be brought. But some people he knew would not be saved. He knew they would not receive it. And it would be because of their own choices. Now, we've just seen the challenge. And that's all I've been trying to set forth here because he's not explained it yet. He said, the challenge is, this is hard. Here's a multitude. He's speaking in parables. And over here we have some people leaning in and saying, what did that mean? Now, that's a challenge because it's like, I've got stuff here that I'd like to ask a question about. Like, what, you did this on purpose? But it's a challenge. Now understand, anything worth having is worth what? Working for, right? Now I'm not talking about work salvation, but I mean working out. All of us have been in those situations where there's been this riddle or this problem or this thing we were trying to remember, and when we worked it, oh man. Isn't it funny how that is? And I'll tell you, there are so many times I can catalog, and I figure you probably can too, where you were trying to figure out how to fix something or how to do something, and you just walked away. A week later, you're like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll do this. Recently, I had this little table that was wobbling. And it had these big pieces of wood on the end, and it was wobbling, and it had these cross members, and it was kind of troubling me, and the screws were stripped out, and I was like frustrated. I didn't know how to fix it. I walked away for about a week. I came back, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to throw some toothpicks inside those holes. And then I screwed those screws in, and the toothpick shored that baby up. Man, it's nice. I didn't sit for a week thinking about that. I just came back, and it just came to me. What I'm saying is I thought that was really cool. Now, when I work something out with God, I'm excited about that because this is mine. This is why it's so important in our day to remember the importance of reading. Because people don't read much anymore. But when you read something, what happens? You own it. It's yours. You almost adopt the opinion of the writer if you've liked what they've said. And that can be good or bad, but point is that when you read, you think, you interact, it's yours, you've invested. Some people like to see a movie after they've read a book because they feel like, I've got investment, I've sweat on the field here, I've read this book, I'm going to go see the movie. You see the point. You spend much time alone with God, you spend much time asking God, you spend much time about God, it's going to mean something to you. You see the challenge. Second part I want to show you is the caution, because that's what he's really doing. He's setting it forth. He says, I'm going to tell you what this means, because it is given unto you to understand. Verse 13 says, he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then shall you know all parables? Now, I threw it out there a moment ago. These guys are willing to say, I don't know. And they asked him about the parable. And for some of us, we think we already know. And if you were to read many contemporary writers today about this passage, you might get one view of one thing and one view of another. And these are very astute individuals, people who are well-versed and scholarly. And many of them land in one category on what they think this parable means. And some land in another place about what this parable literally is saying. Now, that makes me scratch my head. It actually hurts my heart because it seems to me that if it's the one parable we all ought to understand, if you don't understand this, how can you understand any? It's pretty important. Doesn't that sound true? He's just said, if you don't understand this, how are you going to understand any? So again, if I've got all these different ideas that are floating around out there, it also troubles me that I have to stand behind the sacred desk and preach to you because I believe with all my heart I've got an understanding here. And I believe you will agree with me because I will give you other passages that make sense of what I'm going to suggest for you. But I want you to let your eye fall down for a minute, and I want you to see this, because this is important, verse 24. After he's explained this parable, he said unto them, take heed what you hear. For with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him more shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now, why did I read that? Well, because after he explains it, he says, you're going to have other people telling you other things. You have to be careful what you hear, because it's going to skew how you look at all kinds of stuff, because this is a parable about salvation. It's a parable about what happens in the heart when the Word of God comes in contact with that heart. So let us fall back to verse 14. He says, the sower soweth the Word. So we now know what the seed is. He didn't even tell us that before. He just said a sower went out there. Now, put that in its context. Nobody knew. You maybe read this before. You already maybe knew that. Yeah, it's the Word of God. But he says, the sower soweth the Word. So now it begins to come into focus. He says, and these are they that are by the wayside where the Word is sown. And when they heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the Word that was sown in their hearts. Now, interestingly enough, for you and me, the word wayside doesn't really make much sense. We don't use that word. If you were in Australia, they would say footpath. We would say the sidewalk, in one sense. He says, the well-worn path. Now we begin to understand, if we were an agricultural society, we would have understood it more earlier. But the wayside, or the footpath, is the path where the ground is just really tamped down. You throw some seeds out there, the birds come in and they say, thanks a lot, appreciate that. Thank you, that was a good meal. When are you coming back? This was yummy. Now, the devil is the one who's represented by the fowl, so that's going to come into play later in this narrative. This chapter hangs as one whole thing. It actually says when they get on the ship, it says end the same day they got on the ship. But here what we want to see is this is the footpath. And there are some people who will hear the Word of God. They've sat in this very church at times. Or they've sat in other churches. Or they've heard on the radio. Or they've heard on the TV at night. And they've heard good preaching, albeit maybe with other things they've been experiencing through their life. But they've heard it. But immediately the devil comes in. Maybe they flip over to some guy like Dawkins being interviewed. He's talking about atheism and evolution. And all of a sudden, you know, like 15 different things, you know. Or they turn over to the National Geographic. Or they turn over to the Discovery Channel. And suddenly, oh, you know, it can't be. And they just, boom, it's gone. Boop, gone. Wayside. Their hearts. They've chosen something that has made it very difficult for that seed to take root. And so this says that this is immediately gone. But in the next section, it says, and these are they, verse 16, likewise, that are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on the good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now the reason I read those three together is because I'm going to suggest to you that all three of these people are saved people. There's a book that's just recently come out that has defined this as only one of these people are saved. And that would be the good ground. So what I would say to you is take heed how you hear. Be careful how you hear. Because you're going to have some people say that three of the four are lost. And I'm going to say today that three of the four are saved. But it's interesting because I don't know where you are. Some of you are on one side of that and some of you are on the other. So I'm standing up here like either you're a lion going to eat me up or you're just excited and you're waiting for me to let it go and tell you what's going on here. It's a precarious world we live in today. But what I want you to see is that there were those who received the word and there was those who did not. And each of the three that received it had a different experience. And the experience is what he's pressing to the fore. The problem that we have sometimes with the Gospels is that it is narrative and exposition. If I were to take you to the book of Philippians or Ephesians, I could take two or three verses and expound that for the full message. Two or three verses. Can't do that with the Old Testament. You have to take two and sometimes three or four passages to get the full feel of what's going on. The whole narrative of David and Goliath is a huge chapter. Sometimes 51 verses in a chapter. You have to get them all to understand. But the Gospels are narrative and exposition. And so we have to get the bigger picture in this chapter to understand what he's saying. But not only that, we have to take everything else as well. Now you say, how can you say these three, and I'm going to basically argue from the point that some would say this is just one saved. So hang with me on this, and that's probably how I'm going to stress my points here today. You see, if I look at this, what I see first of all is in verse 16. It says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it. And also they receive it with gladness. So they've received the gospel. They're excited about the gospel and have no root in themselves. And so they endure but for a time, and afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. The words they are offended are critical because it doesn't say they are lost, it says they are offended. It means they are trapped.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.